The following is from East Delta Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at www.eastdeltabc.com.
I did tell you if you were here last week. If you wasn't, I think you could probably get it online. I've been challenged several times on this statement. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not in the Bible, okay? Well, sure it is. Well, no, surely it's not. But here's where it came from, Proverbs chapter 13. Look at the person next to you and say, he's still meddling. I didn't hear many of y'all say that. He's still meddling. So here's what the Word says. This is not the words of Jake, but the words that, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were written. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him carefully disciplines him, or is careful to discipline him. So that's what God's Word said. I'm not going to re-preach last week's message, but I am going to go through and just teach you a couple of the high points. What we were talking about last week, we looked at a lot of different things out of Scripture, but we really talked about practical guidance for biblical discipline. That's what we were talking about. And we spent a lot of time on this first one, using your hands to punch the child, and we discussed all that. The other thing we talked about last week was never punish your child in anger. And then probably one of my biggest challenges in Walmart or any other store is don't make idle threats. You know, if you make a promise, follow on with it. Don't change that promise 9 times. And if you do that, if you keep changing your promise, you know, when what I'm talking about is if you do that again, you're going to get a spanking. And then they do it again, you threaten them again. They do it again, you threaten again. They do it again, you threaten again. After 99 times, you finally lose your anger, you lose your temper, you punch them in anger. So if you let them know what's going on, don't make idle threats, it's probably going to help you a lot with the anger issue. So years ago, Ann Landers, I don't think she has no biblical advice for folks, but she usually has some interesting takes on things. She offered up a column, and this is what she said, how to be a stupid parent. Here's what she wrote. Let your kids get away with anything until you get fed up, lose your temper, holler, scream, go wild, and clobber them. If they turn out well, it won't be because of you. It'll be more like a miracle. Now, I'm not saying that type of discipline is going to doom a child forever. I'm saying God says, here's a great plan for the family. Here's a great plan for raising children. If you created something, if you built something, and you were selling that to a company, you would say, here's the way to get the most out of this thing I developed. And you'd want them to listen to you because they might call and say, well, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and it won't do that. And you say, well, it was designed to do this. Here's how to get the maximum out of it. Well, God said, I've designed people, I've designed a family, I've given you children, and here is the best way to raise them. And so we're going to finish up my first point from last week, and I have two more, and they'll go pretty quick. So this is biblical punishment. Here's the fourth thing. Talk before and after you punish, okay? Before and after. Before any punishment's inflicted, the rules of engagement need to be known, right? You agree with that? They need to be clearly communicated. You set up and you tell your child what you expect, and here are the rules, and you explain why these rules are that way. Now, here's my problem. You know, I'm a baby boomer, okay? I'm still in the work field, and I go to work every day, so they sent us old guys to learn how to deal with these young guys, okay? And what they told us is, old guys, you got a problem, okay? Now, I took issue with that, but I understand what they meant because I want to ask you older folks. Now, you put yourself in that category. I don't put you there, okay? So When you were told to do something, here's what they say about us as baby boomers. We obey rules, okay? If the law says do this, baby boomers, for the most part, do it. If the instructions say do this, don't read the instructions. You can figure it out on your own, you know, just, but we follow through. We have steps, and we kind of follow through as you should. The newest generation, they want to know why, okay? So they told us that, hey, you have these young guys working for you, and, you know, I've been out of school. I've been working for the company longer than most of them have even been born. I got 20-year-old guys that are working for me. And so when I was growing up and my supervisor said, do this way. Well, number one, I'd have never said why. But if you said why, what would they say? Because I said so. Because I told you so. That's all you need to know. Do it this way because I said so. Well, they told us, older guys, when you say do it this way, you need to explain. Because you'll hurt their feelings. Everybody go, aw. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So do these things this way, and when you do it this way, here's the result of what you get. So that does kind of make sense. So put that in take that out of a work environment, put it in a home environment. When your child deliberately violates the rules, remember you're communicating. Here's what the rules are. Here's what the expectations are. Here's the reason. But when they willfully, deliberately violate those, then you have to follow through on the promised punishment. I mean, that's the way it is. That's what God's Word says. Now, I don't want you to get mixed up today and say, well, the preacher this morning gave his advice on raising children. It's not my advice, okay? If you have an issue with this, then go and read God's Word and take it up with God, because this is what His Word, and if I say anything that's contrary to God's Word, I hope you'll forget it. I hope I'll never even speak it, matter of fact. And I hope you'd challenge it and go and find out what God's Word. But this is what God says about us. The same way that He says we should discipline our children is how He disciplines Christians. Okay, listen to what He says in Revelation 3:21. Jesus said, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Okay, you know what that means? What He's saying here is rebuke is telling someone, those whom I love, I tell them what's going on. I tell them, here's the issues. If you read those first three chapters of Revelation, you see that there's seven churches there. And those seven churches, God says, hey, this is what you've done great. This is what you need to be doing. And if you don't follow this direction, then there's going to be punishment following that. So when Christ looks at us, He says this, the first of is a warning. Hey, I'm warning. Here's what's best for you. And then following that, there is discipline. Sometimes the rebuking phrase, it's the most painful part of our punishment for the parent and the child. I mean, when we're having to talk about that, we're having to tell those. So talk before and after. Set out some expectations, some guidelines, so they'll know what they're doing. That they'll understand, here's what's expected of me, and here's what's not allowed with me. This is the last point under that first heading, praise more than you punish. Okay? Did you hear that? We miss out on this, and I'm guilty of this, okay? I'll just tell you that we need to praise more than we punish. This message is kind of devoted towards the punishment phase, and let me tell you why. We're addressing those questions. Is this really in the Bible? And the question was, spare the rod, spoil the child. Is that really in the Bible? So it kind of lends the sermon to be bent that way. But you know what's much more important than just saying, all Jake talked about punishing and he showed us all these scripture about punishment. It's much more important to give your child positive encouragement. Give them positive encouragement more than you do the punitive discipline. And you know what happens when we punish? It discourages bad behavior. That's what punishment does. But when we praise, it encourages good behavior. So they work together. I mean, there's bad behavior, there's punishment for it, but we begin to praise. And you know what? Nearly all of us, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, we want to please those we love, don't we? So if we have some positive praise and it encourages good behavior, hey, we're going to follow through with that. I told you all about a shepherd last week and about how he uses this rod to discipline the sheep, to guide the sheep, to clear the path for the sheep. And also the shepherd used that same rod to protect them from harm. I mean, if there was anything coming, if there was an animal of some kind, if there was an attack of some kind, he used that same rod that he could protect his sheep and keep them from any harm. And when we teach our children right and wrong, we're actually protecting them from dangers. You believe that? We're protecting them from things that they're going to face in this world today. Here's what parents are given a warning. In Colossians 3:21, it says fathers, but it's just the masculine leans towards that. So we can say, parents, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Let me read that same passage out of the Message. Eugene Peterson, he wrote this, parents, do not come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirit. Now, here, my daughter would probably give an amen on this. When you have they're all out of school now, and they're all married now, and they're all good kids now. But when your child brings home six A's and a B, what do you concentrate on? The B. I did that a little bit, didn't I, JC? She is down here rolling her eyes at me right now, and she's not. No, you're going to get a spanking.
Tell the story, we're going to tell it right. It was a daily grade.
Whatever. Y'all forgive her, she's losing her memory in her old age.
An 88.
Okay. You lie. You sit on the throne of lies, and you smell like sausage and cheese. Okay, I apologize to y'all about this family argument we're having at this time, but so that's a good question. Do you praise more than you punish? I heard this story about this kid that brought his report card home. Incidentally, by the time we got to John, if it was anything above a D, we were like, all right, John, way to go, brother. You're going to make it. You know, we just were tickled. And I hear that all the time. You wouldn't even let me make a B. And you just let John get by with everything. He is the baby. Okay, so babies. Yeah. here's what I heard about the little boy. And this has happened to me. Dad, here's my report card. And along with it, here's one from I found in the attic that was yours. So they dug some of my report cards up, and I had some teachers that were dishonest on report cards. I'll just be honest about that. I surely wasn't that bad, but listen, here's the truth. More praise than punishment. You know what? When you do that, you are encouraging good behavior. If you embitter your children constantly, if you focus on weaknesses constantly, if you always tearing down, then you're embittering them. You're going to discourage them, and they don't want to try new things, and they're always afraid of getting in trouble. So yeah, there's discipline that has to take place, and when you discipline, you're building that for the future. But also when you praise, make 10 times more compliments than you do discipline. Give 100 times more hugs than you do spankings. I think that's God's word to us. Listen, I want you to hear it again. Parents, do not embitter your children lest they become discouraged. So today, I've got about 20 minutes. We're going to talk about positive results of biblical discipline. So spare the rod, spoil the child, that speaks of negative consequences. It talks about holding back punishment and the consequences of that. But I want us to finish up today talking about the positive thing, because there's a lot of positive benefits if we correctly apply the rod of correction. And remember, we talked about what rod means. We talked about child abuse. We talked about all of that last week. So today, the positive results is this: biblical discipline is a lesson in love. Biblical discipline is a lesson in love. Our primary text says the parent who spares the rod hates the child. Now that's a pretty strong word, isn't it? The parent who spares discipline hates the child. And that word hate, this is what it means. It means to consider someone an enemy. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I got to thinking about all the stuff we do for our children. Now, your children may be grown and gone, but you may have grandkids, or you may have other children that you raise, or you may have grandkids in the future. So what do we do for their own good? I thought about car seats. When I was growing up, what was the car seat? You stood in the middle, and when somebody had to hit the brakes, what'd Daddy do? He throwed his arm up to stop you from going through the windshield. You know, well, we put our kids in car seats. We put locks on the cabinets where they can't get in the cabinets. You know, why do we do that? We don't let them go out and play in traffic. We don't let them go out and do things. We don't let them go out and pick up a rattlesnake. Why do we do all the things? Because we love them. And we know what's best to protect them. And if you see a rattlesnake and you have your child there and you say, look, that snake is dangerous and it'll hurt you and it will bite you and you recognize it this way and those are, stay away from those things because we love them and we don't want them to have to deal with any of those dangers. But I think we miss the point that when we fail to discipline our children, there's as much danger right there. And if you've got somebody, and I hope we don't really hate anybody, but you see that person doing something stupid, and you say, well, they're going to get what they deserve, you know. Then you're going to sit back and say, let them get what they deserve. Why? Because you don't particularly love that person, and you really don't. You think, well, that's just, that person's an idiot, and, get him out of the herd, and it'll be a better herd, okay? So, but for your child, you say this, you know what? I'm going to teach them the dangers. I'm not going to let them drink poison. I'm going to teach them the dangers. And when we do those things, when we discipline them, the Bible says this, we discipline them because we love them. When we fail to discipline them, it means we hate them because we're basically saying, hey, I don't care how you grow up, do your own thing. And you say, well, I would never say that to my child. Well, no, you say that through their actions. I was a youth minister for several years, and I think I told you all this story. There was a girl in my youth group. She was a pretty little blonde-headed girl, and her and Denise were a lot closer than she and I were. And she come in my office one day, and she was upset, and I got to talking to her, and incidentally, she is still in church. Her husband's a minister, and she's part of that. She sent Denise a real nice letter here a while back and thanked her for all the things she did for her while she was growing up, and that's been 25 or 30 years ago. But you know what she said, what she was upset about? She said, I don't think my dad loves me. And I said, well, of course he loves you. She said, I don't think he does. And I said, why? And she said, because he'll let me do anything I want to do and never says a word. Now, this was a teenage girl. She wasn't 19 age. She was a 13-year-old girl saying, I see my dad, and he doesn't love me enough to even correct what I'm doing. It's kind of interesting to me. She kind of put him to the test. She said, he don't care where I go, what time I come home, who I've been with, what I've been doing. He just don't care. Well, he probably did care. I think he did love her, but you know what? He had failed to discipline her, and in that, she said, well, you know what? I don't think my dad really cares for me that much. She equated that discipline with love, and I think that's why we look at the Bible and look at what it says. He who loves his son, his child, is careful to discipline him. When my parents, they used to whip me, they'd make two statements. What was the first one? It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I always doubted that, you know, for some reason. That was actually the second one. The first one I remember was this. I'm doing this because I love you, and it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. Well, growing up, you know, I don't, Daddy loved me awful hard a few times. You know, I think he really loved me hard. So I didn't believe that at the time, but you know what? I believe it now. Because to discipline your child is tough, isn't it? Number one, it's tough because it takes time. It takes time to have conversations. It takes time to have expectations. It takes time to encourage, and it takes time to do those things. And today, so many are so selfish, it's all just about them and themselves, and let somebody else raise my child, and it's the school's fault, and let mama do it, or let daddy do it, or let somebody else do it, and don't take time and don't invest time. But listen, he who loves his child is careful to discipline him. This is what God's Word said. God loves us, you know, unconditionally, but he still punishes us. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resist his rebuke." Those are his words. Don't despise when you're disciplined. Don't resist when you hear God's Word like this morning and you say, "I think our problem today in a lot of churches is this. We don't like that rule. We're just not going to follow it." Okay? We got a better plan. We got a better ideal. And you know what? It's worked fine so far. Do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. When we're in the middle of God's chastisement, we may think, well, God doesn't love us very much, but he does. He loves us so much that he gave his son. The most loving thing I believe you can teach your children is there a difference between right and wrong. And when something is wrong, there's unpleasant consequences because of that. I said last week, I think that's why we're in the mess we're in our United States today, is because we've failed to let children understand that there are authority figures and that there are consequences when we do bad. Here's the second thing. Discipline, biblical discipline, roots out rebellion, and that's what I'm talking about. Here's a couple of different philosophies. Number one, humanistic philosophy. Here's what it says. The humanistic philosophy says, basically, man is good at heart. Basically, we're all good at heart, and any evil is because of the way we were brought up. It's environment. You hear that, don't you? Oh, it's just the environment they were brought up in. That's that humanistic philosophy. On the other hand, the other side of the coin is there's a truth that the Bible teaches that we're all born wicked and we're all born rebellious. So see the two different ideals? Humanism, we're all good. Evil is because of something else in our past, but we're all basically good. God's Word says this, we're all born wicked. We're all born with a rebellious nature. Humanism says we need a boost from below. That's what it says, doesn't it? Hey, if you're having a bad time, you've already had a bad life, you're struggling with obeying laws, you're struggling with work, you're struggling with all the things, we're gonna boost you from below, and we're gonna lift you up, and things are gonna boost. The Bible says this: we need to be reborn. We don't need a boost from below. We don't need lifted up from below. The Bible says we need a new birth that comes from above. And we have a new birth that comes from above, then God says at that point, we begin to move forward. We begin to grow as God wants us to grow. And listen again to what Proverbs says. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will drive it away from him." Will drive it far away from him. You know, we're reaping the fruits of this liberal doctrine, I think, goes all the way back to the 50s, where people like Dr. Spock or whatever they call themselves, experts, said if Junior wants to go in there and saw the legs off your coffee table, well, just make sure they got a sharp saw so they don't get frustrated, and they're going to learn something from that. You know, that's what we can't discipline our children. They have to learn on their own. We have to just let them grow up and let them learn, let them be what they're going to be and become what they're going to become. And parents, all we got to do is feed them and kind of direct them a little bit one way or the other. And because of that, I think they're frustrated. We have children frustrated. We had a couple bring their child to church where I used to be a minister at, and we were talking to her, and I said, "Well, it's great to have you all today." I was just a music director there, and they said, "Well, we're taking our children." Now, this was little kids, little ones, probably 4 to 5. to all the different churches, all different denominations, and we're going to let them choose what they think is best for them. What do you do? What do you do? Train up a child in the way that he'll go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Sadly, we have adults today that's grown up, and they're just big babies. I mean, that's really true, isn't it? I bet you every one of us can sit here and think of somebody, you know, they act like a big baby. If you can't, maybe you. You know, so don't take that personal, but you know, they possess a childish, selfish attitude. I don't think grown-ups should act like babies. And you say, well, I don't believe that. If you don't believe that, go to a Little League baseball game. Listen to the parents. Something funny happened. Denise and I went and watched our bunch of our little girls play softball. And there was two ladies sitting in front of us. And one of them was griping, oh, that coach, she's doing this. And that umpire's doing this. And this lady in front of me turned around and said, you need to keep. And that was her sister or her daughter. Was it her sister or daughter? You know who I'm talking about, the lady that worked for you. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to give a name, but anyway, she turned and said, you need to keep your mouth quiet. And she turned back around and she said, and that's the reason you ain't out there. I just loved it, you know. You need to keep your mouth shut. And that's the reason you ain't out there in the first place. So I just thought that was a great statement. But you know what? We just see that today, and I think it's because how we've raised children, and we show that to our children. Sometimes a toddler stomps his foot, and parents say no, and then they laugh it off, say, "Well, boy, wasn't that so cute?" Well, sometimes you have to turn your head and smile, but you know what? When your child willfully disobeys, when they understand that they're disobeying, and when you spank them, you've taught them an important life lesson. You've taught them a lesson that there are consequences for breaking rules. And if those children grow up and they don't ever believe there's any consequences, matter of fact, when I break the rule, it's just something funny. Let's just laugh it off. They're going to grow up with that same ideal. You know, most kids, I really believe this. Here's my opinion, okay? I'm giving you my opinion. Most kids only need about three or four real good spankings. And if they get them at the right point, they're going to last a long time. That was true for, I'm using my kids. Boy, if you're a preacher's kids, you just get used all the time. Denise, they say it, we'll all be eating. They'll say, don't say anything because he'll use it in a message. You know, they told Haley that. Haley, don't say anything. You'll end up in a message somewhere. For JC, that was true. She got a few spankings when she was little. And from then on, a good look or just a word, that's all it took. Now, John and Jacob were a little bit different. Jacob took a few more. John, we quit counting at 3,000 and just thought, well, you know, one of these days, maybe. No, that's not altogether true. But you did get the most, and you deserved a lot more than you got. So, you know, honestly, biblical discipline roots out rebellion. And some children learn things through the seat of their pants. Others learn things later in life. But when they learn it later in life, it's sure a lot of suffering to get there. That's why the Bible says, if you really love them, teach them when they're young. Don't let them go through all the suffering that they might learn on. Here's the last point this morning. Biblical discipline steers towards salvation. Did you hear that? Biblical discipline steers towards salvation. When you teach your child that they're accountable for their actions, when they grow up understanding that they're going to be accountable for what they do, it also helps them understand that they're going to be accountable to a higher authority. They're going to be accountable to God. Even before a child reaches the age of accountability before God, before they reach that point, they should be held accountable by their parents. And they begin to understand, and they begin to say, okay, I'm held accountable for my actions. That helps them not only on this earth today, but it helps them steer them towards salvation. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, do not withhold discipline from your child. if you punish him with the rod, he'll not die. I told y'all last week, boy, mama or daddy made me go cut that switch out of that persimmon tree, and I screamed and wailed, and I just wanted mama to think I was dying. I went in my room and laughed, you know. They will not die, but punishing him with the rod saves his soul from death. That's God's word. You hear that? Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he'll not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Again, we remember what the rod is. It's not saying you beat a child with a rod. It's talking about discipline and lovingly discipline. So I want to close with this. My parents, I believe they loved me dearly. I believe both of them did. And they loved me enough to discipline me. They really did. I grew up understanding that God loved me. I grew up understanding that they loved me. And I believe today that I'm where I'm at because of my parents. Because I could have been a lot of different places. But, you know, mama was up. Mama was up till I got home. And if I got home after 12:30, I was in trouble. I told y'all I don't have time, but I didn't get home till 3 one morning, and daddy wasn't home, and I said, where's daddy? And she said, he's looking for you. And I knew it was going to be a bad night after that, you know. But it wasn't my fault, it was Denise's fault. Partly, because we went coon hunting, the coon dogs run off. That's all true, folks, there ain't no lie there. But I was held accountable for my life, my actions. So was my sister. I give my sister a hard time, but we were both held accountable. You know what? She and I both are serving the Lord in ministry right now. Now, I'm not tooting my own whistle by any means. I think I got about 5,000 spankings and probably needed about 10 or 20 more. But I believe that growing up in a godly church with godly people and godly parents shaped who I am today. I believe it shapes our children today. I believe our children's ministry today help shape our children in what they should be. Your parents, you only have your children a few short years. You don't know that till you get older, but enjoy them while you got them. Amen? You know, we need to understand that we have beliefs and we have values, and they're developing those things the first few years of their life, kind of like wet concrete. You're making an impact on that child for the rest of their life when they're small children. Take that time, use them, love them, and enjoy them. When it comes to discipline, it's no easy thing. It's a lot easier to let it slide, but nobody wants the stress of disciplining a child or spanking a child or carrying through with that, but you know what? It's a necessary thing. One story, there was a lady, her name was Susanna Wesley. You may have one child and you think, boy, it's tough to discipline. She had 17 children, all hers, okay? Most of their children became ministers or married ministers. Two of her sons was Charles Wesley and John Wesley. You've probably heard of them. They were kind of heroes of the faith. They were great preachers and teachers and pastors from behind. Here's what she said. She had 17 children, but she took time every day to personally interact with each one of them. Later in life, here's what she wrote. The parent who seeks to subdue the self-will of their child works with God in the saving of a soul. Did you hear that? The parents who seek to subdue the self-will of their child works with God in the saving of the soul. The parent who indulges in the child's self-will does the devil's work and does all to kill their child's body and their soul forever. Those are strong words. Those are from a mother of 17 children. But you know what? That kind of reflects this, spare the rod, spoil the child. No, that's not in the Bible. But the Bible says, when we lovingly teach, biblically discipline, it'll keep your child out of trouble and ultimately out of hell. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word and the truth of your word. Father, I thank you that as we study your word and we begin to ask ourselves, you know, is that really in the Bible? And you You teach us what your word is and the truth of your word, Father. We recognize that you are the creator of life. You're the blessing of children. You tell us, Father, blessed is the family who has children. And Father, with that blessing, there also comes some responsibility, Father. I pray, Lord, that your spirit today would teach us as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as those who have children that we have an influence over, Father, what it really means to hold a child accountable because we love them. Because we love them. And Father, through that love, they might grow up understanding that you've loved them ultimately. And because of the sinful nature that we've inherited from birth, we need a Savior. Father, I pray for adults that maybe even here today that they had a bad childhood. They remember some tough times with mom or dad or without mom or without dad. But Father, I pray that we'd know that wasn't your plan. And I pray also we'd know that we have an opportunity to have a Heavenly Father who becomes the best father we'd ever have, and he welcomes us with open arms. Lord, I pray for any today that would be reflecting over childhood, and Father, that they would find the love and the joy and the peace that they desire through our loving Father who loved us so much he laid down his life for us. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this place that we have. I thank you for this country we live in. And Lord, I pray for the balance of the day, that you'd watch over those who travel, that you'd be with us tonight as we fellowship together. And Lord, that we would truly be thankful of our independence, of our peace, of our liberty that you've given us in this country today. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.